Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Good morning, everybody. And happy Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, Jeffrey Wright's favorite holiday of the year. What are you looking forward to, Jeffrey?
The food, obviously. To me, it starts and begins. You know, it starts and ends with the food. Not having to stress,
and it's all of it together. There's no, you know, someone. It was Connor last night. I was on Gabe's show. Congratulations, by the way. Gabe's a dad. How about that? That's exciting.
Welcome, Myers.
That's exciting. Myers is the name. Yeah, it's very exciting. He asked me what the best side was, and I think you made the point before. These things work together, much like the Memphis Tiger basketball team, right? Like, you can be a Tyrese Hunter guy, you can be a PJ Haggerty, Musa Cisse, like, take your pick, but they work together in a beautiful symphony. And I do think turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing / dressing, that all just goes together on a plate, right? I mean, it's all, they're almost inseparable.
Totally agree. As you said, it's the collection. It's not, it is the entire operation is what makes it go. It's not just one part.
I did ask this question, though, because he mentioned mac and cheese as his, might be his favorite side. We rattled off a bunch, I think. And the question is it fair to include mac and cheese? Because most of the other things that we're talking about, whether it's cranberry or dressing or, you know, the turkey itself or the, you know, the broccoli, what kind of green bean casserole, whatever it is. Like, these are things that are specific to Thanksgiving. You can eat them other times, right? But they are largely Thanksgiving meals.
Yep, totally agree.
Mac and cheese, Tuesday, mac and cheese. Thursday again, after
days
that
end
Tuesday.
In y.
Days that end in Y. So is it fair to include mac and cheese? As it is very clearly, and I understand in the South, that it is very clearly a side that one would have on Thanksgiving. But is it a Thanksgiving side?
I do not think of it, but like you said, basically, Thanksgiving sides are just carbs. So,
and well, it is carbs.
So it's in that, but I agree with you. Like, if I hear somebody has a Thanksgiving meal, I'm not expecting mac and cheese. But if you have it and it's good,
I think a lot of people in the South are expecting it.
I'm not.
Even if you're expecting it, you're not. Even if you're expecting it, though, does it count? Can it? It is.
You're asking, does Thanksgiving have a right to claim it?
Yeah, I'm asking not whether it should be on the Thanksgiving table, but whether Thanksgiving has a right to claim it. That's exactly right. And I don't think Thanksgiving can claim mac and cheese. I think mac and cheese bigger than Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a lot like, does Wisconsin have a right to claim Russell Wilson?
It's a lot you like know what that. I mean? Or would they want to? Mac and cheese a lot better than Russell Wilson.
Well, I think when he won a Super, even this when he won a Super Bowl, they wanted to claim
even
it.
This, yes, that's true. Today on the radio show, we got John Martin in the next segment. He's been banging out columns on the Memphis Tigers. And boy, what a bunch of happy columns they've been. You can read that over at the Daily Memphian as well as Partha Padhyay, who's on site. He's followed him. I think the only one who's followed him every step of the way, including the stop in San Francisco on the way to Maui. And so you can read Parth and John Martin over at the Daily Memphian. And John will join us at the bottom of the hour. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Grizzlies have the Pistons tonight. And you remember how yesterday Chris was reveling in the big three finally being back together? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Jazz out.
Yeah, and hand up, I even specifically, before I put the agenda out, went and looked at the injury report, and I don't know, like, I just didn't see the blitzing linebacker. Like, hand up.
Yeah, so...
again, by the way, it wasn't a delayed blitz. Like, he was on the line of scrimmage.
Right,
he was coming the whole time.
It was right there. It was right there, sadly. And I, you know, whatever.
Hand up.
It's it takes some of the joy out of it, but doesn't feel like it's a big deal. Knee on knee the other night. And but still, come on, man, seriously. We're literally just welcoming him back. Now, this isn't a Vince Williams situation. But anyway, we'll talk to Chris Harrington about that. Then Sam Hardiman is going to join us. We haven't mentioned this at all, but I lose track of time. Was it the end of last week? I think it was. I think it was Friday. Well, there was a bunch of news. Because when we last had Sam on, he said news coming.
Yep. And it was the end of last week.
Then he broke the news that there's going to be a tax on certain items sold downtown to help fund better security measures downtown. Then, Friday, I think it was, we learned about significant measures the city is taking downtown, including having a new police precinct right there by FedEx Forum. And this was all, in fact, we don't stick strictly to sports anyway, but this was sports related because honestly, it relates to the future of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
It's been very clear that now that they've assembled the money to do what needs to be done with FedEx Forum, the Grizzlies' biggest concern is, okay, if we're going to sign a lease to stay in this neighborhood, are we sure the neighborhood's going to be nice? Before we commit to, you know, 20, 30 years in the neighborhood, let's make sure the neighborhood's not going to be deteriorating around us, or forget deteriorating, maintaining at this deteriorated pace. So that happened as well. We'll talk to Sam about all that, about the Grizzlies, about safety, and about these new developments downtown. So that's the lineup. We got John Martin. Then we have Chris Harrington. Then we have Sam Hardiman. We do have a whole lot of other things to get to, and we'll try to touch on a lot of them in this opening segment before I'm sure we talk largely Tigers with John Martin, largely Grizzlies with Chris Harrington. It was sort of fun yesterday, Jeffrey, to see people frustrated on Twitter as they were waiting for the playoff rankings, which we'll also discuss, to be unveiled. And there was Memphis, Michigan State.
There you go.
People were ticked off. And I'm like, you got to watch this team, man. You need to watch this team.
Yep.
You need to watch this Memphis basketball team, like it or not. We'll get to the rankings as well and who's getting screwed. But anyway, Memphis wins again, rolls on 71-63 over Sparty. Now 6-0 on the season. And I'll confess, I was doing a little Thanksgiving shopping yesterday at Kroger during the UConn,
Colorado
game. I found everything except for something called hot/smoked paprika.
Okay. So it's a spice.
So it's some kind of, and we have regular paprika.
But a particular
Sam asked me, do I cook? I had the kids half time growing up. I fixed food.
Right.
Like there's a difference between cooking and fixing food.
Yes.
I fixed food. I put food on the table. That's what I do and did. But we are, I guess we're cooking for Thanksgiving. And so what we've done is we've gotten five or six different recipes. We've printed them out. And then I was assigned, and it was kind of fun. It was a scavenger hunt.
All right, there we go.
To get all the stuff at Kroger. And I think I got all the stuff. It was a bit of a madhouse, but it was, here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. You just got to have the right spirit about it. As you're like having a congested three different shopping carts in a single aisle trying to get by each other.
Who's good?
You got to smile and, yep. and ruefully say, this is where we all are, you know? But anyway, I was keeping tabs on UConn, Colorado, and cheering for UConn.
Yeah, because we're already at the point where you want the window.
It did take a little bit of the shine off that previous Tiger upset that they lost, that UConn went out and lost again.
Did the Tigers beat UConn twice?
Maybe the Tigers beat them twice. Well, I mean, this is what you always say. We don't know early in the season
what these
things. And so, you know, you had a little bit of Memphis football beating FSU vibes there, you know, celebrated as the biggest win ever. Now, we already knew that FSU was semi-fraudulent by that point, whereas we didn't know much about UConn, and it remains to be seen. I'll be stunned if UConn has the kind of year that Florida State had in football. That will surprise me. I also found it surprising how distasteful it was to be rooting for Dan Hurley and UConn, but I was rooting. So it took some of the steam off of that. I don't know if it would cause anyone to reevaluate how big that UConn win was. In other words, if you were going to say, if you were one of the people arguing in the Jeff Calkins Show poll yesterday that win was bigger than the NCAA tournament win that they had, bigger than the win over number one Houston to win the AAC championship, bigger than the Tennessee win, which I think it indisputably was. But
wonder which way you voted.
Does the fact that they then UConn went out and lost again, does that change any of that? So you're wondering about what this means, and that stinks. Took some of the luster off of that win, but the Tigers, to their everlasting credit, didn't seem to mind, and they just went out and beat another coaching legend, Tom Izzo. So in consecutive days, Penny Hardaway, some put him on the hot seat, has beaten, I never put him on the hot seat, some put him on the hot seat, has beaten two coaching legends, Dan Hurley and Tom Izzo. And honestly, they were in control the whole way.
Yep.
Didn't you think they were just a better team?
So I was doing the math. The Tigers have trailed for like 8% of the Maui Invitational.
Yeah. Which is hilarious given that until they got to Hawaii, the whole narrative was, they don't wake up till the second half.
Yep.
Right? Well, they seemed that
But is this a time zone thing?
It could be a time zone thing. Whatever Penny had been saying at halftime, he now says pregame, and away they go. It wasn't completely without suspense. It was honestly,
I never really felt like they were gonna win.
I didn't either. Memphis was the better team.
Like there was kind of a clunky stretch around like the 12 to 8 minute mark in the second half, and the lead didn't change.
And then Memphis went on that 11-0 run.
Yeah.
11-0 run to go up 57-42. And, you know, like if you want to get worried, and I do because that's how I'm wired, Michigan State cuts it to 7 at one point. Like that's the run wasn't to cut it to 2. The run wasn't the run that caused Memphis to call the timeout was Michigan State cut it to 7.
Yeah, and like at a certain point, you're playing the clock.
And then immediately Tyrese Hunter comes out and hits a three and gets a foul.
Tyrese might not want to leave the island.
That dog is something else. I mean, that dude has had himself a tournament. Another 23 points yesterday. 5 threes. The last two games, he has hit 12 threes. 12 of 20 is emphatically the star of the show for Memphis, which is saying something because PJ Haggerty's awesome. I do remember Gabe asked me, and fair, like Gabe was comparing this team to the Kendrick Davis team. Mm-hmm. For a long time he has been. well before the season began. And I'm like, okay, you can say that, except for there's no Kendrick Davis. And it turns out there's two of them.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Well, you were
of
correct,
them.
Though, when you said there's no.
There are two Kendrick correct. Davises. I mean, it really is astounding. There's not just one dude. There's two dudes who can take over. And Colby Rogers ain't so bad either. And the bigs?
Now, I mean, I actually think that's the biggest.
The bigs?
Yeah. I mean, forget the pun. But I think that's the thing that I was the most concerned about coming into the season is like, okay, can these guys really produce? And they
I think they're even better than they've produced, too.
I agree.
I think there's potential for them to be even better.
And they've
better.
Been affecting and altering the game,
and
even if it's not
ways.
In a stat sheet.
Dane Danger looked so inept against UNC way back when. He is super skilled.
I'll confess. Super skilled. I had Jordan Brown worries.
I did, too, after that one game.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're all operating with
right.
PTSD.
We're let's be real, like... There's questions about what are like how do you use bigs and whatnot in basketball.
Now. He's been the reach-ins just so frustrating. Like literally, you've already got two fouls and you get caught on a switch and you're reaching in like now at that after he did that he was signaling like he thought he might have had two like he maybe he didn't know that he already had two, but
listen to the PA.
They just got to stop with that. And particularly today, obviously, they play Auburn and Johnny Broome, which is going to be a handful. We'll talk about Auburn in a minute. But, they got three guards who've been two would be the best guards on a lot of teams, most teams in the country. Two of them would be the best guards on most teams in the country.
Right? I totally agree.
And they got two of them.
Yep.
Colby Rogers ain't chopped liver, and the bigs have been terrific, and Nick Jourdain was all over the place.
Yeah, I was gonna say like I know he's always gonna be a forgotten man. I've actually thought he's been very good this year.
Terrific,
because he's doing the stuff that not everybody wants to do, and you have to have it. Guy's gritty, gutty.
100%
throwing his body around. Like I appreciated Nick Jourdain.
The other thing to appreciate about, and this was a theme of the broadcast about Tyrese Hunter. Yes, the revelation is the shooting.
Yeah.
Which has been crazy. And not just the shooting, it's the clutch shooting. Utterly unaffected by situation, it appears. And credit to Penny Hardaway on this. He has had exactly seven games of four or more threes in his career. And three of them already have been in Memphis. Like, that's sort of a part of Tyrese Hunter that is being unlocked. But the part is not being unlocked, but is there every single minute, is the way he guards. For him to be as effective both ends has been just astounding. I mean, he's been, win or lose today, it will not surprise me if he is the most outstanding player in this tournament. Obviously, winning would help. And PJ Haggerty was good again. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Musa, 9 points, 7 rebounds. Dane, 7 and 2. Jared Harris came in for his first bucket as a collegian, and it was an emphatic throwdown dunk. So that was great. And Tom Izzo, unlike the other legend that Penny beat, was incredibly gracious. Was incredibly gracious in defeat. Shocking.
Yeah,
aren't
I would say
surprised?
Both guys operated the way I would expect.
Yeah, one is pure trash and one is pure class.
Like,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
Tom Izzo is an intense person, but he's always like gracious.
Totally gracious. He was a little frustrated by some of the Memphis shot making, saying, "I don't know if Penny would have made some of those shots back when he played." So it was an emphatic win, wire to wire. And I have to say, a couple things. First of all, it's just more fun when Memphis basketball is being Memphis basketball. Like when I came here in '96, like this was it, man. This was it.
It was the pro team.
I remember driving around, and back then the 92.9 didn't exist. I was listening to Sports 56 and George Lapidus, who was this guy who I'd never heard of, and whatever else. And all they are in the middle of football season in the middle. Like, all they're doing is talking about the college basketball team. You're like, what in the world? Like, this is not how most major cities, they're not.
There's one thing you can safely say. We are not most major cities.
They are cities of a metropolitan area of roughly a million people.
Yep.
You go, whatever. You go to Houston, you just listen to sports talk radio. They weren't talking, they're still not talking about the Houston Cougar basketball team.
Yes.
As good as they are, they're still not. And so it was kind of astounding to me. And then you realize the history, you realize how deep this runs, you realize how much it matters. And let's be honest, we had, you know, the incredible, intense return of hope under Penny Hardaway. And then it's been a little bit iffy. And I've been missing it. And I think we all have. And to have felt what we've felt the last couple days, it's like a return of an old friend. And by the way, looks like a hell of a Memphis party out there too.
Yeah,
like
it does.
Like the Memphis fans traveled very well. I'll be interested to see how many Memphis fans make it to Tulane for football. I know a bunch are taking the train to New Orleans, but because it feels like a whole bunch of them are in Hawaii. And then you had the video of Bill Hardgrave and Ed Scott jumping off of Black Rock into the ocean. Evidently, they told the team that if they beat UConn, they would do it, and they followed through. And so, you had Ed Scott shirtless, Bill Hardgrave with the shirt. Did you see the clips?
I did see.
I thought, by the way, I think they're both in pretty good shape. They have not. It does not appear they've eaten that much Memphis barbecue.
Aren't both of them college athletes?
Or mac and cheese? Both college athletes.
Yeah.
Yes. Bill Hardgrave could dunk.
Yes. Not
that long ago he dunked, and Ed Scott played baseball. There are a lot of college athletes. I don't need to tell you this.
Yeah, a lot
who
of
20
yeah.
years later don't necessarily course, look like Ed Jeff, Scott did with his shirt off.
Easy, buddy. That's my neighborhood.
There's a bunch of college athletes who may have let things slide just a little bit. Hit the macaroni and cheese just a little bit. Anyway, it looked great. It was a great Memphis party. And today they've got Auburn. And weirdly enough, UNC handled Memphis pretty comfortably in the exhibition game. But I was rooting for UNC because I think that Auburn matchup is like that's a tough one. They got Broome, who, by the way, had 23 points last night. And
they basically led wire to wire, too. I think they might have, like, where the Tigers technically didn't lead wire to wire, but let's be real, they did. I believe Auburn actually never gave up the lead.
Yeah, they jumped on them immediately. Yeah. They were up 15 before you could think. 23 points, 19 rebounds, plus five other players in double figures, and they hit 11 threes.
I think another fun part about this is, and I guess maybe it's possible there's some bias to me because I'm watching a team that's in it.
Yeah.
But this really did feel like, and I was talking about this with Tim Murray yesterday, this felt like a nostalgic Maui Invitational. Like, this felt like the Maui Invitational because all four games on Monday were awesome. You're back
games
in Lahaina. Like, it's gotten the feature spot, and it just feels to me like you got big names, big yep. brands. It feels like the Maui Invitational, and I don't know if we've necessarily had that.
And on that stage for Memphis to sort of announce itself, like, let's be honest, Memphis had been a forgotten basketball program.
Yeah.
It just has, nationally speaking. It has been a forgotten basketball. So to have this stage to take advantage of the spotlight in such an emphatic way and in a way that looks durable, like, I don't necessarily.
Totally agree.
I don't think that Tyrese Hunter is going to, you know, shoot 50% from 12 of 20, the equivalent, you know, from three for the rest of the season. Although hell, maybe, but I think he's going to guard like that for the rest of the season. And I think he's going to be undisturbed by being in big moments for the rest of the season. And I think he and PJ Haggerty are going to, you know, take turns playing off each other. I think PJ Haggerty is going to draw fouls for the rest of the season and maybe the rest of his life, honestly, the way he draws fouls.
Yeah, I think Kendrick was so great at.
It looks durable, and again, to take advantage of this stage to announce themselves, it's just been a hell of a lot of fun. Now, if they win, well, then you've beaten. Then Then you've beaten three Hall of Fame coaches in consecutive days, Hurley, Izzo, and Bruce Pearl, which would be something. I think win or lose, Memphis will be ranked next week. Don't you believe that?
Yes, I do.
And I think if they beat Auburn, I think they'll be in the top 10.
It's really tough to go from unranked to top 10, but you'd have to be...
Like, but you're starting from scratch. You're
correct.
Starting with nothing. Like, they weren't unranked on merit. At that point, they would have beaten the number two team in the country, which is no longer the number two team in the country, and the number four team in the country.
I'm not saying that it would be undeserved. I'm just saying...
And they would not have stumbled, not a single L.
I know, but it's really okay. Hard to
they
enter.
Should be.
I'm with you there.
GP had them at 13...
Right, but
before
GP
yesterday.
Literally invented a thing called poll attacks.
Right, before yesterday. Yes, but people follow GP.
Yes.
And he had him at 13 before last night's win. And then you win last yesterday, and then you you beat Auburn? Okay, an Auburn team that
this is
beat
my,
Houston?
This
an
is
Auburn
the
team?
Only case that I'm making. They were, for taking the AP poll, they were seventh in others receiving. It is really difficult
is.
When you got a national ballot and everybody's largely just kind of shuffling around what they've seen. Like
it would be stupid to just shuffle around with this team because you hadn't seen them and now you've seen them.
And I totally agree.
But you're just saying the way it works.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
They should be. Like if it's a resume and if it's merit based, which I believe it's what it should be at this point in the calendar, that team should be ranked in the top 10.
Auburn also, by the way, held R.J. Davis to 12 points. Like
he was so frustrated. Hubert.
What?
Hubert. I think maybe Hubert and Mac have been eating together.
It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible.
Back on my lane.
I'll let you be the expert on that sort of thing. Anyway, congratulations to Memphis Hoops. We'll talk more about it with John Martin in a second. But I did want to hit some other stuff before we get to that. Including last night, the playoff rankings after the Memphis game ended and people patiently waited for it to end. Then they had the playoff rankings over at ESPN. And
let's start first. Maybe we should have done this after we both rolled our eyes really hard at the election intro. Remember on the first one?
Yes, right. Yes.
I think I'm out on the Reese Davis metaphor.
Stupid.
Yeah, it was like last night was like a test one, and I'm good. I don't need this. Just show me the ranking.
A lot of Reese Davis is great, but this was not great. This
just get to the I'm rankings. Just out on the
stop
device,
stop with that,
if you will.
With it. Yeah. Okay. So, what struck you?
I think the first thing that stands out to you is. Is the ACC now primed to get two spots? Because you've got Miami at 6, SMU at 9, Clemson at 12. I believe we're at the point where those are the only three teams that are still technically alive for the ACC title. Have we set up a scenario where they can get two teams in?
I think very likely. I think very likely they can get two teams in. To me, I'll be honest. I thought, you mentioned those teams. I thought one of the most outrageous rankings was Clemson. Outrageous.
Well,
whatever. Ole Miss fans are going to be disappointed. Like, we talked earlier, what are they going to do with Alabama and Ole Miss?
Right.
And I think you persuaded me, and I think you are 100% right. Ole Miss should have been ahead of Alabama. Alabama, in a game that they had to win, absolutely non-competitive against a bad Oklahoma team.
They never had the lead.
Absolutely uncompetitive. And if you look at Ole Miss's losses, all of which were in their own way truly discouraging and inexcusable, and they made their own bed and all of that. But they were all competitive. They were. They could easily have won all three. Like, it's not even... The idea that Ole Miss is behind Alabama is silly, and the idea that either Ole Miss or Alabama are behind Clemson, which Clemson, what the hell have they done?
I'm glad you asked, Jeff. Do you know how many teams they've beaten with a winning record?
None.
Year? They have actually
Virginia
beaten
Tech?
One. No.
Pitt has lost four games in
a
row.
And by the way, Pitt should have won. They let Cade Klubnik run.
Yes, that was totally
56
absolutely right.
yards, like, with no time left.
So they've done nothing, and they've gotten drummed by Georgia, and then they've lost to Louisville. And Louisville, by the way, just lost to frickin' Stanford.
Well, I also
Clemson is out. That's outrageous. And I say that even though my minister, David Power, went to Clemson and is a big Clemson fan. Please forgive me.
So I have found myself with this internal struggle. I am the ultimate. I always push back on the SEC as the most dominant and greatest conference of all time. Now, with that said, I'm always the guy who goes, I will usually, whoever the best team in the SEC is,
right,
I'll hitch my wagon with them. I always think that team's usually the best team. I find myself this year going, man, a lot of these teams that are ranked ahead of him, like, it's convenience.
They're just counting win. They're counting the number of wins.
Correct.
Except they're counting the number of wins except for when they're not. It just makes no sense whatsoever, the number of losses. Because Clemson has two and Ole Miss has three, Clemson should be ahead of Ole Miss. And I know, I am not at all an SEC homer, but that's crazy to me. Clemson's done nothing. Honestly, I think their best win on paper is Virginia Tech. Like, that's, if you look at the analytics, whatever, they won nothing. They've done nothing.
Yeah, but the Virginia Tech game was against a backup quarterback. And by the way, like, I think they only scored like one offensive touchdown in that game.
And then you've got the way the bracket. Now, I don't for a minute believe they will do this. But not only do you have Ole Miss and Alabama out and behind Clemson, you have Tennessee and Georgia playing each other in the first round, and then the winner playing Oregon. I don't believe that. I do not believe, and it'll be interesting in the room if they do some massaging to not have first round matchups within a single conference.
Well, because the other problem is you also have Indiana and Penn State.
Yeah. It won't play. Like, teams will win, teams will lose, teams will whatever. Things will happen. But I don't believe in it for a moment that will happen. But if it played out that, I thought the SEC got screwed last night, which is a weird thing to say because the SEC screws everybody all the time.
Yeah, but maybe this is the way to actually kind of build up the SEC as an underdog, so that way when you maybe put in five teams, that's how you do it.
Here's the other question.
All right.
Is it possible that the Big 12 gets left out?
No.
Well, the argument would be as
I know what the argument is, but continue.
The argument is they take the five
yep.
highest ranked conference champions, right?
Yep.
What if they take
Tulane?
Tulane and Boise.
Yep.
Over three loss Colorado or three loss who else have K-State?
Yeah, I mean, literally, we
K-State. What
Jeff,
if
you realize
K-State,
there's a scenario we could have Texas and Baylor playing for the Big 12 title?
Yes, and at that point,
maybe then.
At that point,
maybe then,
couldn't they be left out?
Maybe if you got that scenario where you have five loss team,
but you don't think K-State or Colorado would be behind Tulane?
No, it's not the point of this.
I think that's fair. It's not the point of this. Yeah.
I'm not defending it. I'm analyzing it.
Anything else particularly strike you?
I mean, there is like a this is going to be interesting to me. That 8-9 game, like, they wouldn't do what we see right now, to your point about Tennessee-Georgia.
The Tennessee-Georgia game.
You don't do that because how is that rewarding Oregon?
Right. No, it punishes Oregon.
Correct.
It 100% punishes Oregon. That's the other problem. If you have these teams, you know, you're going to, the conference champions have to be ranked higher. And so they will push a better team down. And if that team then plays the number one team, the number one team is getting punished for being the number one team. It'll be interesting to see how they tweak this going forward. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk to John Martin about Memphis hoops. Then we'll talk to Chris Harrington about the Grizzlies. Then Sam Hardiman about crime downtown, all of that stuff. We have a whole bunch of other stuff to get to. Do you know, Jeffrey, where the first turkey trot was invented? You know, the run that everyone does on Thanksgiving?
I do not.
Well, I'll tell you that later on in the show. In the meantime, I'll also tell you, if you're looking for a new financial institution, go to Leaders. You can just download the app. Technology's fantastic. Technology's fantastic. Rates are great. Service is fantastic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Involvement in the community is top. I'm always getting press releases about the latest thing they've given money to or supported or good cause or whatever else. And it's a credit union, and so they don't have a corporate overlords. Every single penny gets plowed back into these things that I'm talking about: better technology, better rates, better people. Like it's and if you've been frustrated with your financial institution. Gets bought three different times. Let's be honest, another bank I use certainly doesn't have the same name it did when I opened up my account there. And at Leaders, we open an account. We went to the Bartlett location. There's another in Arlington, but you can just download the app and sign up that way. Or if you're interested in testing out, if you need a new car loan, mortgage, give them a call. Leaders Credit Units, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment with John Martins, Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. Yeah, the Frame Corner Memphis would be the place to go if you want to be thoughtful this holiday season. Get a frame. Those are beautiful. Buy a beautiful frame. Or head on in soon. Bring them, a collection of photos, sports memorabilia, something to show how thoughtful you are by getting something framed for someone you love. And preserving it forever. It's enshrining a memory is what it is. And it's creating something that can hang on your wall and then can be passed down for generations. They do a beautiful, beautiful job with custom framing at Frame Corner. It's really their specialty. Frame Corner Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue. Joined now by John Martin. John, of course, every day from 11 to 2. Jason and John, every day from 11 to 2. And John has been a prolific columnist for the Daily Memphian. It must have been that writing about the winds from Maui. It must be a delight, John, to write about these triumph after triumph. Is it?
Yes, because I feel like for too long I've sort of been writing, the opposite. People always, accuse me of so many, and that's part of the business. I get it, but. At the end of the day, this is what I want. Like this is the kind of stuff I want to chronicle. This is the kind of stuff I want to talk about. This is the kind of stuff I want to have happen for Memphis basketball, for Penny Hardaway. This has been a really fun week, man. This has been a really fun week, and obviously a big game today. But I think they've already just, regardless of what happens later today, they've already banked in so much goodwill.
I was talking to you about this off the air yesterday. And I think you said something like, you feel like a 12-year-old boy again. Like, this is the feeling, right?
I wasn't quite 12. I was probably 16. But, people won't believe this listening to the radio. But there was a time when Memphis would play these kinds of teams routinely and beat these kinds of teams routinely. you know, and you line them up, knock them down. I mean, look, it, you know, I mean, when Memphis made the Final Four, and I get it, this is Maui, this isn't the NCAA tournament, but what they do, they had to beat, you know, Texas, they had to beat
Michigan State,
UCLA, like all the big brands, you know, and that was like, that was like almost the best part about it. It's not just that they were winning the games, like. They were knocking down.
They were trucking them. They were trucking the biggest brands in the country. Yeah. Just demolishing them.
And I know, obviously, yes, UConn loses yesterday, so that takes some luster off of it. But they were still undefeated at number two in the country when that game happened. You know, Michigan State, obviously, we know is going to be a team that's relevant over the course of the season. So, yeah, I think it's been a great week for Memphis. You know, I'm happy to have been wrong about pretty much every single fact. Yeah,
you said that. I saw you saw that on Twitter. You said that on Twitter that you have been were wrong about everything. What do you think you were like? What do you think you missed?
Oh, the biggest thing I missed was PJ Haggerty for sure. I was so skeptical that he would be able to come to Memphis. You know, and recreate what he did for Tulsa. Because I said, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, he played one Power Five team last year. It was Oklahoma State, and he didn't play well at all. They lost the game. They got blown out. And then when they played Memphis, yeah, he had a good game, but everybody had a good game against Memphis. So what is that supposed to mean to me? And the rest of it was just feasting on AAC teams. But, you know, there's no question that this guy is legit. He's a legit college basketball player. I really like watching him. I love the purpose that he plays with. I was wrong about that. I was wrong about the PJ Haggerty experience and how good he really was. And as a result, I was wrong about how good this team is. So it really was.
How good do you think this team is?
I think they, you know, I mean, If you're telling me that this isn't just a 1 week in Maui thing, you know, and that this is who they are, I mean, they certainly look to me like a second weekend team. I mean, that's they have the guard. People were texting me like, Fuller 68. People were texting me like, you know, the guard play is what jumps out. I mean, and when you think about big runs in March, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you could see PJ Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter just exploding in March. I mean, you can really see it. You know, I mean, it's happening right now.
Yeah, they're already exploding. So, they're exploding in Maui. Is where they're exploding, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. And we'll see. You know, I mean, obviously, Penny has shown he's not afraid to add guys at the break before. I mean, I'm sure he'll be a little more careful this time, but you just never know. You never know what could be awaiting, you know, at the semester break.
Obviously massive for Penny to have knocked off two Hall of Famers in consecutive days, and now he's got Bruce Pearl lined up. It is interesting, the stat that's floating around about Penny, which is indisputably true, last 18 games against Power 5 teams, 16-2. It is like, how do you square that with the struggles, you know what I it's kind of, but this does feel different. I guess that's part of it. Like, it's like, all right, we know he was beating Power Five teams last year, and then we know about the collapse. This feels durable, and I do think, even though his record against Power Five coaches was terrific before this tournament, he had a lot to prove, and honestly, not just to Memphians, and not particularly to Memphians. Memphis had been forgotten, and I think Penny Hardaway had been largely, you know, dismissed as a failure, particularly outside of the city. Huge for him.
Yeah. I don't know how you square it. I mean, it's like squaring the theory of relativity, you know? I mean, E equals MC squared. I don't understand that, you know? I guess when you're on a different planet, like gravity and other, you know, I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch Interstellar, Jeff. So but it's the same thing. It's the same concept. It's just as hard to understand as how Penny can go from being undeniably elite against Power Five teams, undeniably elite, to being so mediocre against one of the worst leagues in college basketball. But I'm hopeful that is over and done with. And I'm hopeful that we can look back and we could say that the reason why last year fell apart was because you had two players or more who weren't mature enough, who weren't good leaders. And it's honestly, like, it's not – you watch them play, there's a big difference because it takes accountability. It takes leadership to be a good defensive team,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It does.
Now, you can tell they care deeply. You know what I mean? It comes from Penny, and he picked them and everything else. It also was inside them in a way that it just wasn't inside the dudes last year.
Exactly right. Everybody was kind of like, you know, whose turn was it? And they didn't defend. And, you know, this is different. This is very different. A lot of it is, you know, you watch them and there are good vibes. Now they're winning, and it's a lot easier to have good vibes when you're winning. But, like, the reason why I feel like this is so different is because even when Memphis was number 10 in the country, and they were, KenPom wrote an entire ass article about Memphis. And he said,
right.
This team is not good. So he said, this team is not a top 10 team. You know, like, none of my numbers have them as a top 10 team. Like, he went back historically and he compared teams that were like to sort of fit that criteria that were ranked in the AP top 10, but who his numbers were low on. And every single one of those teams, with the exception maybe of one, like went on to lose the first round of the tournament or like just didn't end up right. having a good season. So even as Memphis was in the top 10, there were definitely still lots of skeptics. And probably deservedly so. I mean, they barely got past Vandy at home. They barely got past Austin Peay at home. I mean, you can sort of start to see the cracks, right? I don't think we're going to be getting that type of article from KenPom this year.
All right, Auburn matchup. You told me that you thought UNC would be better than Auburn in terms of a matchup for the Tigers. What do you make of this Auburn team?
I mean, yeah, this Auburn team is number one at KenPom. They're really, really freaking good, and it starts with Jani Broome, who had 18 and 15 in the first half yesterday. That to me is the entire key to this game.
Here's the thing: isn't Penny a Memphis? Of course, they got in foul trouble. They both fouled out yesterday, but you got Musa, you got Dane, like you got some bigs, and Penny. I do think one of his strengths has been taking away a guy.
Yeah, it's going to be a little harder to do that with him because, you know, that's the glass as opposed to, like, scoring.
Right.
You know, he can score.
He freaking 19 rebounds. But, he had 19 rebounds yesterday.
Yeah, like, he's more of, like, how do you take away a presence? You
right,
know?
Yeah.
That's the whole game today. I mean, because Auburn's guards are they're okay. I mean, I don't think they're bad, but they had
R.J. Davis frustrated as hell. I'll say that.
Oh yeah, listen, Auburn's going to do that. I mean, but here's the beautiful thing about this game. That's the way Memphis plays.
Right.
Like you can't like when you have you know what this is, and I'm not saying this lightly. Okay, I'm not saying this, but this game is like putting two schizophrenic people in the same room. You know, it's like you can't out crazy Memphis. You can't do it.
I'm not sure this is the right metaphor, but okay. Yes.
I'm just saying. You can't intimidate Memphis with chaos.
Right.
How's
Memphis,
that?
Memphis is chaos. Right. You're bringing chaos to the chaos party, man. We already got chaos here.
That's why Memphis beat Auburn, you know, 2 years ago in Atlanta. You know, I mean, Auburn is what they want to do
yep.
is that. They want to speed the game up. They want to make it a mess, and they just want to and they want to be more crazy, more chaotic than you. Newsflash, that's exactly the way Memphis wants to play as well. So this is definitely going to be a hilarious game. That I know it's going to be a hilarious game. I think Memphis is absolutely live in the game. I mean, I get why they're 8.5.
Eight and a half.
Yeah.
Is it eight? Yeah.
Yep. I understand that. I don't think that's like ridiculous, you know, in terms of a number. But I think Memphis matches up, you know, pretty well with a team like Auburn. It's just to me a matter of, you know, can because we saw it yesterday against Michigan State. Can Memphis stay out of foul trouble with their bigs? I will say this though,
Broom does not take a lot of foul shots. Like, he's not a guy that necessarily makes his living at the free throw line. You know, he's only coming into last night, I think he only attempted 18 free throws on the season in five games. So he's not a guy that just lives at the foul line. So, you know, Memphis has a chance there, but, you know, it's going to come down to outside shooting. I mean, that's what Auburn wants to do. You know, they play a 3 seconds or less offense. It's pretty ridiculous. But if Memphis can survive
amazing.
The barrage.
Memphis is still top five in the country in three-point shooting. I never would have imagined that after they got to Maui, but they still are. Okay, if Memphis wins, where are they ranked next week, next time the top 25 comes out? If Memphis loses, where are they ranked next week?
If they win, I think they'll be top 10. If they lose this game, I think they'll probably be like 17, 18. That'd be my guess. Maybe a little higher, but I think UConn's loss to Colorado kind of hurt.
Jeffrey pointed out it is hard to jump from, you know, barely getting other votes into the top 10. But Trey Lastly, who's a follower on Twitter, he listens to us, he pointed out that in 2010, UConn went to Maui unranked, won it, was seventh the next week. They beat Wichita State, number 2 Michigan State, and number 9 Kentucky. And they jumped all the way to 7.
Michigan State wasn't ranked, but, I mean, they were right there on the cut line. Like,
right.
So, you know, you leave Maui. You were 32nd, I believe, in receiving votes. So you leave Maui with the number 2 win, you know, a good win against Michigan State, and then the number 4 win. I mean, I don't know how you don't end up in the top 10. You know, I mean, that would seem crazy to me.
All right, so what's Thanksgiving look like over there? John, who's cooking? What are you cooking?
You know, Thanksgiving is not really my favorite. I just don't
really
like...
Do you even eat turkey? Will you even...
Yeah, I'll eat some turkey. I'll eat some turkey for sure. I mean, I'll definitely, like, you know, pick at some stuff. But, like, it's just not... I enjoy, like, the sports part of it. I do. I actually, you know, that's become one of my more favorite, more enjoyable parts about Thanksgiving is, like, just the NFL slate, obviously.
But here's the problem. In your family, is there anyone else who's watching it with you? You know, your son's how old?
He's 10 months.
So he's probably not there yet. So spend all day in front of the watching sports, aren't you fundamentally doing that alone and removing yourself from your family? How do you manage that, man? Is that true or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, so it's a great question. So the way I kind of manage it is I leave the dinner table. I go into the living room. I sit on the couch and I throw a game.
And it's okay. You're not getting disapproval for not...
I mean, look, man, I'm 33 years old with 2 kids. I'm not really at the point where I care about approval. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do what the hell I want in this life. You know, I mean, I'm not going to ignore my family. I'm not going to be like, you know, act like they don't exist. But
that's good. You know, that's good. That's a good approach to Thanksgiving. Give me a wager for tomorrow on any game on the slate.
I bet Memphis plus 14.
You bet Memphis plus 14 against Tulane. And what's your theory?
Well, I don't think there's that much damn separation between these two teams. Like, I really don't. I think Tulane is, to their credit, they played amazing football. Like, they've destroyed everybody that they've seen. But, like, who have they seen? Like, who have they outside of college? They played a tough non-conference with Oklahoma and Kansas State.
Yep.
But, like, since then, lost like, what exactly? Like, okay, so they got a Navy team that, you know, by that time had totally
had already been
like,
broken by Notre Dame. Yeah.
So who would they really like seen that has anywhere
and,
close to the
and,
amount of
and their coach is on the short list for UNC. This could be the Justin Fuente. Remember at the end of that season when
that ain't the job he's waiting for.
What's the job he wants?
An SEC job.
He wants an SEC. You don't think he's taking it?
I would be surprised.
Yeah. Well, so like the other part is, and Jeffrey knows this too, the teams that have been on the cusp, mm-hmm. like a playoff, you know, that have like, you know, that are there. They've really had a bad couple of weeks. Like when you get close to nut cutting time, they really struggle. Like you saw with Alabama, you saw with Ole Miss, and Tulane, I think, falls in that category as well. I mean, this is Seth Higgins.
We
last.
Think the pressure is getting to these teams.
Even a team like Penn State, which won and deserves credit for winning,
yep.
like that was that was far from their best performance of the year.
all of these teams, like, I don't think I've seen any team, with the exception maybe of Notre Dame, against, again, a friggin' option offense. All these teams have basically been in really close games, you know, to a T. And so I think, you know, with everything that Memphis has, I mean, it's different when you're backing Ryan Silverfield getting two touchdowns, you know, with this group. I mean, I just think that's far too – I could be totally wrong on that, but I just think Memphis finds a way to really keep this game close, and I don't think Seth goes out sad like that. I'd just be really surprised.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Yep.
John Martin, every single day from 11 till 2. If you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Listen, if you're selling your house, you may know someone who's like, they list their house. Months go by. House is still listed. Well, here's the great thing about Josh Heisa. For example, this guy named Corey, he hired Josh to sell his house. Had to sell his house. And Josh offers all his clients this assurance. If he can't find them a buyer, he will buy their houses himself for full market value. Takes the worry right out of listing your house. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. We'll talk to Chris Harrington when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.